This is the Dr. Chris Lib Podcast. Welcome to a special mini-series called Bone Saws Bring It Back, Faculty Edition. The University of Alberta Medical Class of 2013, the Bone Saws, had their 10-year class reunion in November 2023. I invited faculty leaders and block coordinators to share their updates and reflections with their class. These interviews were recorded in November 2023 and are being released now in 2024. Dr. Verna Yu is a professor of pediatrics at the University of Alberta. She's held numerous leadership roles at the Faculty of Medicine and Dentistry since 2000, including vice dean and interim dean. She went on to work at Alberta Health Services in 2012, first as chief medical officer and then as president and chief executive officer. Since July 2022, she started a two-year term as the interim provost and vice president academic at the University of Alberta. Welcome to another special edition of the Bone Saws Bring It Back Faculty Edition. And today we have our special guest, Dr. Verna Yu. How's it going today, Dr. Yu?
It's great, Chris, and it's wonderful to see you. It's been a long time.
Indeed. Okay, well, I know that your roles have been fairly public, but why don't you just give us a summary of where your career has taken you since 2013?
Wow, that's hard to think back to so long. But back in 2012, I finished my year as interim dean for the Faculty of Medicine and Dentistry, and I actually then went over to AHS, which was an interesting time to go because it probably was a time when AHS didn't have a very good reputation. And in fact, when I told people that I was going over to the health system from the university, people would say to me, "You're going to the dark side, Verna. What's going on?" And I actually said to them very quickly, I said, "You know, I think I'm actually going to the light side because I'm actually going to be working in the provincial system. And one of my mandates was about quality of care, which is what we are about as physicians. So I was really excited about taking on a provincial portfolio like quality. And that for me was really exciting. My other role was to bridge the connections with physicians because I was also the chief medical officer. But for me, probably the fun part of that job was the quality mandate and building the quality journey for the organization. That was 2012, and I did that for 4 years. And early in 2016, in January, I took on an interim position of the president and CEO of Alberta Health Services. And I say interim because the previous CEO at that time had resigned. And so I would have been number eight in 8 years. So that doesn't bode well for longevity in that role, as you can imagine. And in fact, when I took on the interim position, I told the board chair I didn't want the job because I didn't think it could be successful, right? Eight years, like what the heck?
Yeah.
So I took the job on. And after about 3 months, I actually realized that it's doable. It was an incredible board. The board chair was fantastic. It's Linda Hughes. Some of you might know was the chancellor, I think, at the time that your class graduated.
Right.
And I saw a stability in the system at that time where I thought, you know, I think I was having fun with the job. And I was thinking, you know, I think I can do this. I had lots of support from within the organization as well as externally. And I said, well, let me go for it and see. And I did that role for 6+ years, of which the last 2+ years was the most horrific in terms of having to deal with the pandemic. And then when I left the role in April of 2022, I got tapped on the shoulder multiple times, but the one tap on the shoulder that I could not ignore was coming on to help the university, who had gone through a horrific budget cut. And for those of you who may not be aware, it got within 2019, 2020, when they got a 34% budget cut from their operational budget. You can imagine in any organization cutting 34% of your budget. There was massive layoffs, over 850 people were laid off and had to reorganize and restructure. And, you know, the back office functions are really bad in a university. So, you know, the process improvements are lacking, and it was really painful. It's very traumatic for people. And I kind of knew that. And it was very similar to when I first joined AHS in 2012, to be honest, right? Major consolidation, a lot of changes. And, you know, I think I made an impact in AHS, and I thought, well, my alma mater, can I help out in this interim provost and VP academic, which is essentially a chief operating officer for the university? And could I make a difference? And so started that position in July of 2022 and here I am almost 18 months later. So that's where I am now, Chris.
That's great. And so for this next question, and I think you're so well suited to answer the question or to at least give a response to it, what would you say is the state of medicine / healthcare?
How much time do we have, Chris, on this?
As much as you want, actually, as much as you want.
You know what? I have to say that right now, watching what's happening in Alberta has been very painful for me personally, because in the 6+ years leading the helm, I think we did a lot of great stuff everywhere, from improving quality of care, doing scale and spread on best practices, improving morale. I mean, for about 4 consecutive years, we were top 100 employers in Canada. You know, we had lots of things to be proud of, right, in terms of furthering the integration. I think one of the things I'm most proud of was 2 things. The first is building a culture that we could all be supportive of, and, you know, providing a place of employment that people were happy to be at. Second thing that for me was a game changer was the provincial EMR Connect. Now, I know there are going to be some growing pains with it, but honestly, in what other province can you actually get health records? You know, I did clinic this morning, and, you know, I could see records from Calgary, from whatever, you know, I can make referrals to any part of the province. It really is a game changer. And then having the records available to patients, it really is putting the patient at the forefront of team-based care. So for me, Connect Care was a big transformative initiative, and I'm so glad that it's taken place. And I think right now, workforce challenges, and I think the burnout, you know, people don't really understand how COVID really impacted healthcare. They just think it was just, a 3-year-long journey with the flu or something like that. But you know what? COVID was like a war for healthcare professionals. We came out of the war battling a virus, battling the public sometimes, you know, battling within, you know, even our own environment. And how long does it take to recover from a war? It takes years. And the ravage on mental health, on well-being, is so understated and underestimated. And people are leaving the profession because they don't find joy in it anymore. So it is a really tough place right now to be in healthcare. And I'm just grateful to all of you who remain in medicine and who practice, especially in Alberta. And if you're not in Alberta, come back to Alberta. We really need you more than anything at this time. But it is really a tough place to be at. And I also don't feel that there's been an appreciation for AHS in the last, you know, few years, despite the fact that AHS was really remarkable in the approach to the pandemic. And all I can say is that once I was, for the last 2 years, I've been talking across the country, even across the globe, to different groups about the importance and impact of an integrated healthcare system, to the point where now in Canada, everyone else is wanting to be like Alberta in AHS, except Alberta. So, right? It's only so much you can do, I guess.
That is the double-edged sword of leadership, I think. Well, I appreciate those comments, especially just kind of with everything so fresh in your experience. But let's shift gears a little bit. You know, you were the vice dean and then the interim dean while our medical class was in medical school. So just looking back to that time, what would you say was your favorite memory when you were serving as dean?
You know, I have a lot of favorite memories. I think one of my favorite memories was shortly after the resignation of the previous dean that I had to step in for. And you can imagine when a dean leaves under less than optimal circumstances, you know, the morale of the faculty was really, really low, and, you know, people felt really bad about what was happening. You know, they felt ashamed and thinking that our leader was accused of plagiarism, resigned because of that. How do you keep your head up? And I remember at a town hall that week, it was a whole week of the incident from the time it happened to time when I was named as the interim dean. And I remember speaking at the town hall, and there's like standing room only in the Gates auditorium. And I said, you know, I pulled an experience that I had with my daughter, who was who at the age of 12 was part of a very successful soccer team. And the star of the soccer team was leaving. And I said to her, how do you feel about that? Like, do you feel really sad? Are you scared that you won't be number one and, you know, going forward? And, you know, my daughter said to me, you know, Mom, there is no I in team. And that's what I said to the faculty. I said, there is no I in team. You know, one person does not define us as a faculty. And then after the weekend, what happened? We had a big celebration for Lauren Terrell, who, as you know, as dean, and Lauren just got inducted into the Canadian Medical Hall of Fame. And so celebrating Lauren at probably one of the lowest moments that the faculty has ever experienced was just awesome. Like, it was, there were so many people that came, people felt inspired again, and it really was an opportunity to look forward, going forward. Now, what about the students? What was my favorite memory about the students? Well, first of all, I loved the title that you guys had for your class, the Bone Saw. And I still have my jersey. Thank you very much.
Yay.
I don't know when to wear it. That's my only problem, but I do have a jersey. But just to say, I just love the different characteristics of each of the classes. And you guys were a fantastic class. So just had a lot of good memories from them.
Fair enough. Now, when I'm trying to do my part to contribute to the next generation of physicians as well. And so whenever I have learners, I always start my time by saying, hey, you're my junior colleague, I'm your senior colleague. So the way that we're teaching is because ultimately we're going to be working together. So in the same way, just wanted to ask, you know, what advice do you have for junior colleagues who are early in their career?
Yeah, you know, I think that when, you know, when you're early on in your career, your career is going to evolve over time. There are different things that are going to be important in different decades. Let's use decades. You know, in the first 10 years coming out into practice, you really want to hone up your clinical acumen. And, you know, you're going to be starting families. You know, it's a time when you're going to feel really pressured. There's different tensions, people pulling you from all different angles, and you're just trying to stay afloat. And I think what's really important early on is to understand you can't do it all. You have to ask for help. And very importantly, family always comes first. That would be my advice. And then along the way, you know, as kids, you know, they're a little bit older now, a little bit more established, it's a time to kind of dabble a little bit. You know, what kind of things interest me? What do I have fun doing? Where can I really make a difference? And that's time you kind of stretch yourself a little bit, try things that you might not necessarily think of yourself doing, you know, always stretch yourself. Your image of yourself is not always the image that others have of you. And your capabilities is often broader than what you actually think they are. So, you know, have fun. Do things that you're fun, that you have fun with. You know, and for me, very early on, one of the things I loved doing was teaching and medical students. And so that led me to student affairs. And that was, you know, loved my 8 years in student affairs. And that was because that was what I had fun doing. And so, you know, stretch yourself a little bit. But don't feel like you ever have to do it all. But, you know, like I said, find things that you are passionate about. And then as you get older again, think about the impact factor. Think about more on a systems basis. You know, oftentimes as physicians, one of the big challenges, you know, early on when in AHS, when I, you know, took on that chief medical officer role, and I would go out and talk to groups of physicians, and physicians would be saying to me, well, you know, AHS is doing this and AHS is doing that. And I would say to them, you know what? AHS is your system. I mean, you work in this health system. Why is AHS separate from what you're doing? I mean, it is, you know, physicians impact on 70% of decision-making for patients, right? So if you devolve yourself in the healthcare system, then we are never going to be working together in a team-based model that we hope to be in. And so it's very important to understand the impact that you can have on the healthcare system. We know in general, I would say, literature is not very strong. But I personally feel that physician-led organizations, health organizations, do better in terms of health outcomes for patients and also in terms of improved quality. So,
great. Just going to our last question here. What would you tell your younger version of yourself from 10 years ago?
You know what? I would I'm not sure that there was anything that I've ever done that I've regretted doing. So I think that's the first thing. And I would say you never want to live your life with regret. And I think it was a big risk to go to Alberta Health Services. I was promoted to full professor and to go to AHS at a time when it was pretty demoralized, tough culture, you know, whole new world, working with new people. It was a bit of a risk. But I also saw it as an opportunity, right? And so I would say to all of you, you know, take some of those risks. And I think we're very lucky as physicians because we always have our clinical practice. We always have an out. There are many others in the health system who do not have the luxury. So we need to take some risks. And what would I tell myself 10 years ago? I don't know what I would tell myself. Exercise more.
Well, then I guess, Dr. Yu, it sounds like you have led a life that you have taken as full as you want it to be. And really, I think so much of us have benefited from the risk that you decided to take, like you said, to step into things and see them as opportunities, seeing that the culture that you're stepping into were chances where you could do something that can make a difference. And I think we all benefit from it. And it takes a lot of courage for that. And so I just wanted to speak on behalf of my class and everyone else, I'm sure, who's just so happy to be aligned with you and in our time with you as our dean and in our medical school, and then just to see you on in these roles. So thank you so much for making the time for this, and we'll look forward to crossing paths again down the road.
Yeah, and please stay in touch and keep in touch. Love to hear from all of you and hear what you're doing, and I'm so proud of all of you.